Some of the Rebbe's Torah here.
Yeah. Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov blessed his son Asher. The bracha is Me Asher Shmeina Lachmai, which means from Asher, rich food will come. Shemen, the root word of Shemena, translated as rich, literally means oil. So in other words, the bracha actually was that from Asher, rich food will come. But the word for rich food in Hebrew has the shaydish, the root word of Shemena, which means shemen, which means oil. So Rashi interprets Yaakov's blessing as meaning that the tribe of Asher will possess ample resources of oil. Rashi adds that Moshe also blessed Asher in a similar manner, stating he will immerse his feet in oil. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu many, many years later, now it's Yaakov. But Moshe, at the end of Parshas Zois HaBracha, when Moshe benches Asher, says the same thing. He gives Asher oil. So we have Yaakov and Asher, Yaakov and Moshe, Yaakov benching Asher himself, and Moshe benching Shevet Asher many, many generations, three, four generations later, a few hundred years later, the same thing, that Asher is associated with oil. It has been mentioned many times that every matter that exists on the physical plane has an analogous element on the spiritual plane as well. Indeed, it is through the descent of the spiritual counterpart via the chain-like order of existence that the corresponding physical entity comes into being on this plane. In other words, like this. There is a statement, so it says like this, that everything begashmias, everything physical, has also whatever you see physically, there's also the same thing exists on a spiritual level. Whatever there is begashmias, also begaruchmias. It's not it happens to be that way. No, everything physical has a source, beruchnius, spiritually. So the reason why everything that you see physically also exists spiritually is because it comes from the spiritual existence. It is true regarding a material entity in this world, how much more so do the matters related by the Torah possess a spiritual counterpart. Every element of the Torah has not only a simple, straightforward meaning, how it exists in the material world, but also a meaning in the realms of remez, allusion, drush, homily, and side mystical interpretation. This also applies regarding the blessing to Asher. From Asher, rich food will come, and he will immerse his feet in oil. True, interpretation of a verse never departs from its simple meaning. You have to take it simply, right? It must be seen in a simple way. Thus, simply in a physical sense, the ancestral heritage of Asher had an abundance of olive trees, as Rashi states, quoting a story related in the Talmud, where Asher has a lot of oil. Like we said before, Rashi explained, right, that Asher was a lot of oil. However, the straightforward interpretation does not convey the entire meaning of the verse. Certainly, there's a spiritual parallel to the matter. In other words, the Rebbe is saying that yes, it's true that Asher, his tribe, was blessed with oil, but it's not only that. There's a ruchnisdika concept that whatever Asher means spiritually, there's also oil in a spiritual sense. So there's something that we can learn from whatever this means, even though we might not be from Shevet Asher. And what are we connected to Asher and oil? It's because whatever you read on a simple, literal level also exists on a spiritual level, which means on a more mystical level, which means on a level that everyone can understand what Asher means to me and what oil means to me. Here we go. The spiritual counterpart of immersing his feet in oil can be explained as follows. Oil alludes to chachma, wisdom. Wisdom is the loftiest dimension of a person's being. Feet are the lowest element of a person's being. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, he will immerse his feet in oil, implies that Asher's feet make use of the oil. Although outwardly, the feet are the lowest element of a person's being, nevertheless, they possess a superlative quality, so great that even wisdom, oil, does not approach it. Hence, oil is used for immersing the feet. So, feet is considered the lowest part of a person, and wisdom is the highest part of a person. And oil is chachma, is wisdom. So you have oil, which is the highest part of a person, and the feet is the lowest part of a person. And yet, what do we say? But what do we say? We say that there's such a unique thing in the foot that the foot gets immersed in the oil. Because that's the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. What does that mean? So I want to, before we continue, I want to just stop a second and explain this real quickly. So most people look at life that if I understand something, if you tell me what to do and understand why I'm doing it, how it's done, what is it all about, I'll do it so much better, so much more, I'll be so much more invested in it than if you tell me to do something and I have no idea what I'm doing. That's the, you know, common way of thinking about things. So if I'm told, just do it, it's never going to be done the same way like if I get it. But in Chassidus, we're taught that actually there's something far greater in doing something without it making sense to you than things that make sense to you. In what way? Where could it be greater? Because if something has been done a certain way, right? The example of this is like this. If the two most wisest people on this planet, right? If one of them want to send a message to another person, so wise man A want to send a message to wise man B across the globe. This is before internet, before email, before text messages, before, right? Who would they choose to send to? Who would they choose to? Who would they choose to send? Who would wise man A choose to send as an emissary to wise man B with a message? A simple person or a semi-wise person? The answer is, the simpler the person is, the better it is to send. Why? Because a semi-wise guy will think that he understands it somewhat. And what happens then? He'll change one word.
That's interpreting.
Because what? Because he thinks he does get it. What happens then? Then, the second wise guy B doesn't get the message because it's not what wise man A said. And wise man B, if it's explained by this semi-wise guy, it's lost and it's not really what he meant. And the wise guy, semi-wise guy, is not on the same level as the wisest people. So there's no way. The other example that the Yael Khan would always say, he would say, a king, when he wants to rest his crown, because it's heavy on his head, he has a lot of incredible ministers, high-level people next to him. None of them get his crown when it's heavy on him. Where does it go on? On a nail on the wall, a shvuk. A nail gets his crown. A nail gets a crown. It should go on a minister's head. You know, it should go on some vice president's head. No one's getting the crown, even for a minute. Why? In other words, so if you have to do something a certain way, following instruction exactly how it's told has an incredibly greater value in that sense than if I do understand why. What's the problem if I understand? Because if I understand what I'm doing, to a certain degree, it'll limit what I do. Why? I will do it only as much as it makes sense to me. So there is, even though, of course, on a simple level, you're so much more passionate about things that you understand, but it's also, the flip part of it is it's limited, because it's limited to what you understand. You won't go more than that. If I'm devoted to it, not because it's logical, I'm devoted until the end. So that's what he's saying over here. He's going to get to the idea that Shemen is learning Torah, doing mitzvahs with a logic. It makes sense. It's seichel, and the regel, the foot, just follows orders. Walk, go, do whatever you got to do. So you're walking. There's no. But there's a mile, there's a benefit over the head.